Welcome to Real Talk with Andres and Heather, the podcast where we say the quiet part out loud about real estate, business, and the situations nobody warns you about, all while we are live streaming, so there are no edits.
All right, Heather. And this isn't coaching from a stage or highlight reels from social media. This is stories, real mistakes, real money, real consequences, and the situation nobody warns you about, all while real consequences from agents, buyers, and sellers, and business owners living it in real time. So if you're tired of the sugar coated advice, fake gurus, and playing small because nobody tells you how this really works, you're in the right space. I'm Andres, and this is Heather. Let's get into some real talk.
And there we go. That's what you were talking about, live streaming and mistakes, and you guys just bear with us because most of the time it's me. Most of the time I'm the one who butchers the intro, so at least it wasn't me this time.
It's gonna happen real day. I think that's the beauty of this thing, right? Doing it like this and doing it live. There's gonna be times where we're gonna screw it up. There's gonna be times where we're gonna have an interruption right on a key moment, and hey, and this is real talk. That's why we do it.
Right? That's why it's real talk. And speaking of interruptions, we may have one today because you are at a new construction site today.
Yes, I am. I'm going to upload a video later on. I got here a little early so I can settle in, but then other things started happening right as I got here. So great community, great place, great property, man. Very lovely. And for the price, you guys won't even, you would think this is a several hundred thousand dollars property, $1 million property in some states, definitely. So I'll put a video up on my social media channels just later on today. So stay tuned for that. And you let me know what you guys think about that, this property.
Yeah, definitely. I love looking at new construction and seeing, well, you know, I like older homes, but I still like looking at new construction and seeing all of the recent trends that are going on. Some of the trends are weird. Some of them are pretty cool, but nevertheless, see what's going on.
Yeah. Along those lines, I mean, there's so many new construction in my market, right? In Huntsville, Alabama. So if anyone listening, looking at the Huntsville market, there's so many opportunities and within the surrounding area of Huntsville. Such a great price too. Definitely something that if I'm a buyer, I'm paying attention and definitely trying to get myself into one of these. So take advantage. Like, I live in San Diego for a number of years. New construction, very, very minimal. And then when they started, ask somebody from San Diego in California and they'll tell you about the prices. What you pay for one of these houses a year, it's ridiculous compared to any other states.
It is funny when people come here, transplants from other states come here and they're like, oh, only 400, 500 grand for this house. This is amazing. And then you have people that live here and that have lived here their whole lives. And they're like, oh my God, I can't believe houses are so expensive. So it's just perspective on where you're coming from and what the market is like in other states. And what amazes me about new construction is we were driving the other day way up in North Georgia and they had so many new construction projects going on. And I'm like, first of all, who lives up here? And who can live up here? What jobs are they working that they have these mansions that they're building? How do they get to work? It would be like a 2-hour commute each way. But never
mind. Seriously. I saw a video the other day and somebody mentioned, you know, how their lives change because they move locations. And they got one of two videos, actually. One of them, they got moved to Hawaii, visited, stayed for a month, stayed 2 months, 3 months. It's like, next thing you know, I'm living here and my life is so different, so much better since I moved here. And another video in a similar situation. We grew up in a place, right? We were born, raised, we consider that home, we have family and everything. And sometimes that vision becomes too narrow. We think that that's the only place and we don't see how much better we could be in a different location. You know, we don't go that far out to imagine, to think of what the possibilities are. And you'd be surprised, you know, how much better things could be, right? And sure enough, it's not always, you know, I'm not saying it's gonna, the grass is greener on the other side, right? Every single time, but sometimes you just gotta take a chance. Take a chance, see what happens. What's the worst that could happen? You end up going back to where you're comfortable, to where you're from. But if you don't venture out of that comfort zone, you could be missing out on so many great opportunities, so many great possibilities. Not just for you, but for your family down the road. And it's just a matter of, you know, venturing out and making it happen and go from there. You know, like 5-7 years ago, you would have asked me if I would have been in Huntsville, Alabama. I would have said, no, probably not. Definitely not. I don't think so. But yet here I am, just three years in this market, in this place, and I'm loving it, you know? Am I going to say I'm going to be here 10 years from now? Probably not, because I'm a very adventurous guy. So I'm a very, you know, spontaneous guy. You tell me to do something right after this, and I'll be like, okay, let's go. Sometimes I do that without looking at my calendar. I'll be like, oh, shit, I forgot I had a meeting. You've seen me do some of those, Heather. So it's one of those things that I just go with the flow sometimes. And sometimes you really have to. You know, I feel like that's the way I am, and sometimes just go with it, you know. Don't be afraid of what's gonna happen. Could be something so much better on the other side. You never push yourself to even pick around the corner, pick over the wall, you know. Sometimes you just gotta look over the wall and be like, oh man, it looks good over there. It's a nice beach on the other side. Let's go.
Just the fear that holds you back, and that's a common theme in our shows here is fear. Fear holding people back from pursuing what they want to pursue or what they need to pursue. And then it stands in the way of them achieving what they could have potentially achieved had they peeked over that wall. But speaking of peeking over that wall, it is time for our favorite segment, favorite part of the show. Today we're doing What Would You Do? Real Estate Edition.
Absolutely. And just a quick note, this is a dramatized story, not a real situation. But every scenario is based on a situation where agents and clients, you know, things happen all the time. So we just want to put this out there.
And so you guys know your job is not just to listen, but to decide who's right, who's wrong, and who probably needs therapy. And in this situation, what would you do?
Absolutely. Let's get into it. All right, guys.
I like the sound effect.
All right. Hey, I'm going to try to keep it with the same line as last Thursday, right? And it just came into place, and I'm like, let's keep it that way. And you guys remember on Thursday we were talking about a scenario that the agent was becoming more of a therapist throughout the process and had to put boundaries in order to allow that transaction to follow through. And one of the parties involved, you know, stay behind that line.
Yeah.
So in the scenario today, it's real simple. If you're an agent representing a seller who is trying to list your home, and you list the home, but then there's a catch. The ex-partner, they're not married, right? Still lives in the property, but she feels entitled to a bonus of the property. And she won't refuse to leave the property until she gets involved in the sale and gets her bonus out of that. So the house is under the seller's name, and the ex have been living there for over 3 years. You know, they help with renovations. They help maintain it. They've been involved in getting the house to that particular, you know, situation where it's at now and ready to sell. But they're not part of the deed or anything like that. And again, they're not married, but she just feel entitled. He or she feel entitled to be compensated to get a portion of the sale of this transaction. So in this situation, what would you do? You list the house, you have interest, you're getting good traffic on there, you're getting offers, but she's being upfront about it and saying that if we don't have it in writing, by the time we close, I'm gonna trash this house. Like, what would you do in this situation? Do you proceed with the listing and take a chance, or do you talk to the listing, to the seller, and say, hey, let's put something in writing, let's come into an agreement beforehand, because it could eventually be a much, much worse situation. And again, you're not, as an agent, you're not familiar with the details of the relationship and how that relationship ended. You have no involvement, no knowledge. You are not their friends. They just came in as a client, but you are put with the situation in front of you, Heather. What would you do?
Oh, man. Well, hopefully they put in writing via text message that they're going to trash the house, because then you got evidence that they're threatening that. But I think, I guess it really depends on the situation and what I knew beforehand taking the listing. I probably have a conversation with the real estate attorney and talk to the real estate attorney and see legally what we need to do in this situation. Like, do we need to start the eviction process? Is she refusing to leave the house? You know, she's saying she's going to trash the house, then obviously that's a big issue. Is it going to compromise closing? So I think for me, everything would come back down to making sure that we've talked to the real estate attorney, and that if they're not married, obviously there's no divorce decree. There's nothing that says who gets what. They just feel like they're entitled. That's a really tough situation to be in, because you don't want them to mess up the sale of the house, but you also have to do things legally. I guess I would say I would talk to the real estate attorney and probably start the process of a formal eviction.
A formal eviction? Gotcha. It's a tricky one, huh? Because you do have situations where people are living together for 3-5, you know, more than 5 years or so. They're not legally married, and situation like this, if they grew up, they bought the house while they were together, they helped get it to this point. It's a really situation. And at the same time, we have seen time and time again that people are just, in some cases, they're unpredictable. Well, they can be predictable, but some people are just, let's be honest, some people are just crazy. And they will do anything.
It depends on like when you knew this information. Did you know going into, do you know going into the listing that this person's going to be crazy and it's going to be a challenge? Or is this something you find out after? Because I would think if I knew going into it, I would say, let's handle one situation at a time. Let's get this person out of the house, then list the house. That way you don't have to deal with any of the issues of them messing with showings or trashing the house or not, you know, cooperating with inspections. But if it's after the fact, then that's, you know, a completely different situation. You probably should have had a listing appointment with everybody that lives in the house then.
Well, as the seller, he feels that, you know, that's not her place, right? It's not her place. She has they have no say on selling the property. You know, if you're meeting with the direct buyer and it's a relationship that has ended, she's supposed to be in the process of moving out. You know, it's a tricky one, because yeah, they don't have a decision, but now they feel entitled. Having the right to be able to make a decision on something and feeling entitled, it's different angles. And given how long and what the breakup of that relationship was, she might be inclined to do something, and at the same time, she may be feel entitled to something just because of the way things ended. So, not trying to support the person trying to do any damages on there, but depending on what that situation was and how that relationship was, she may be onto something, no?
Well, I mean, if this person is going to be living in the house still through the process of the sale, they're going to be involved, because they're going to have to be notified of showings. They're going to have to be notified of the inspector, the appraiser, all these things. So you can't you can't be like, oh, they're not involved at all. They have nothing to do with this. Ignore them like they don't exist, because they still are a process, are not that process. They still are a part of the process. So they are going to be somewhat involved. And yeah, I mean, if this person was putting their money towards repairs, improvements to the home, if they have receipts and they can show like, hey, I did this, I did this, I did this, that's a matter for them and, you know, the ex to work out. Maybe they need to take them to small claims court and be like, hey, you know, and it depends on what they have in writing. Do they have something in writing saying that they're going to get something, or maybe a promise that was made? But as far as, you know, the sale of the house, this is a tricky one. It's always hard when people don't want to cooperate with the sale of the house. That's why to me, I'm just like, it'd be easier just to get that person out and then sell the house.
Yeah, definitely. And even so, you know, if you look at the big picture, it might be something that, hey, they just want to get compensated, or to some extent, like you said, for what they feel they put into towards getting the property to that point. And it's just a matter of sitting down and having the conversation and putting it in writing so that the rest of the process can move out. But if it's a situation where they're both on completely different angle, like not giving you damn thing for this out of this sale, it's going to be tough. Like you said, it will be better just to handle things legally, removing the property off the market, handle things legally, and then, you know, putting the property back on the market as you see fit later on once everything settles down and it's clear, right? Because following through with that process at this point will be a challenge for everyone.
I think it comes down to conversations too. It's always better to try to resolve everything, and you have to put your therapist hat back on, and maybe you have to have a group meeting or a meeting with just that one person that's, you know, being a little bit combative and be like, look, the house is going to sell. They want to sell the house. The house is going to sell. You're not on title. This is what's going to happen. It's up to you to determine how you're going to go from here. And you don't have to be like team one way or team the other way, because both these people are going to need a place to go, right? They both need, whether it's an apartment or another house or a rental house, they're going to need somewhere to go. And who better to help them than you? So if you position yourself correctly to this person who's, you know, very upset, you can be like, I totally get where you're coming from. And I don't know, maybe you are entitled to something but that's between you, a lawyer, a judge, and your ex to determine if you're entitled to something. All I know right now is that this house is going to be sold and you need to find a place to live. Would you like my help in doing that? If you don't want my help because you feel like I'm, you know, team X, then totally get that. I can refer you to another agent that I know that would, you know, take great care of you and find you a good place to live. And hopefully that would work. If that doesn't work, well, then start the eviction process and get them out of there.
Definitely. I think it's a situation where it makes you wonder, right? We're looking at it right now from the different perspective from the outside in, but just put yourself in that situation during those moments from each particular angle, right? From the seller, from the ex, from the agent, you know, from the buyer. The buyer is like, man, I want this house. Can you please settle this down? Are you ready to sell the house or not? Like that would be an emotional roller coaster where as a buyer, you're in a situation where you need to move, you find the ideal home, everything lines up. Well, you're confident you can obtain a house, and you can obtain the house because the seller and their ex are having a dispute that wasn't settled before the property was listed. Like that's very it's ridiculous. I would say, like, as a buyer, I'm looking at this like, what the hell's going on here? Just why'd you put the property in the market?
And that can turn a lot of buyers off too. I mean, this just the turmoil of the uncertainty of not knowing what's going on. A lot of buyers would be like, yeah, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to fall in love with the house just to not get the house. And especially if they're like on a time crunch or something like that. Any type of extra drama, they don't want to have to deal with that.
Just imagine as a buyer, you don't know that person, you don't know that relationship, you don't know what went through in that house before then. What if that person has a grudge? Like they're very, you don't know all the details, but as a buyer, that would turn me off that somebody who's, hopefully as a buyer, I don't know all this information that's going on in the sense, like in personal, but if I do get to know what's going on and why there is the sabotage on the property, that would definitely be a turnoff because that means that they could come back later on and do something to the house just because of their bad experience when situations ended, you know? Mm-hmm. Have nothing to do. The seller has no liability on that. But as a new buyer, I'm already in the property and this person that I don't know comes out of nowhere and start breaking windows, doing things to the house just because of their past relationship and how things ended. Like, yeah, that would not be, yeah. For me, that's a turnoff. Like, I would not want to be part of any of that stuff.
People be crazy.
And that's what I'm saying. People can be crazy. They can be predictable, but some people are just crazy and you never know. And I don't want to find out if that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I would not be willing to find out. They can be crazy. They can be crazy on their own terms, their own way. I want no part of that. You know, I could be crazy, but not that crazy.
Well, I think the whole, what would you do to answer that question? You know, if it doesn't have to do with the loan of the house, the mortgage, if they're not on title, if they're not, you know, connected to that home financially in the sense of anything to do with the actual sale of the house, all that other stuff is really none of your business as the agent. That, like I said, that's between them, their ex, and if they want to go to, you know, small claims court, they can, or, you know, whatever court they want to go to, depending on how much money it is, then they can do that. Your side of it is purely just the real estate side of it. And I would try to get that all resolved before we list the house. And I would say to me, I think the best thing for you guys to do is to have to everybody completely move out of the house. Everybody completely move out of the house before we list this house and avoid the drama altogether. And maybe that's not an option. If that's not an option, then you have to walk down that road of them being disgruntled and in the house. But I would try my hardest, I think, to make sure everybody was out of the house and we just listed a vacant home.
Absolutely. One of the questions I like to ask for both buyers and sellers, does anybody else have any interest in the buy or the sale of this property, right? Like, you're talking, if the seller is telling you directly that they want to sell, you know, you're in the listing appointment. You know, it's good to ask. Does anybody else have any interest in the sale of this property? Because, like, in this situation, he doesn't think anybody does, but the ex certainly does. So I want to make sure that these are clear out of the way before we list the property so that it doesn't come back to affect the transaction and to affect the process. But overall, you want to go, the overall is to make this as smooth as possible, right? Make this as easier for the seller and the buyer as possible. And you want to have these tough conversations beforehand so that you can facilitate that process as much as you can throughout the way. But you got to have the tough conversation beforehand.
You really do. And this probably isn't an uncommon situation, actually, because when you think about the modern family today, right, you have a lot of blended families. You have a lot of families that are coming together. One of them owns the house. One of them doesn't. They move in with, you know, their kids and you've got a blended family. And then, you know, things are break on the house. You repair them. And then if that, you know, marriage or relationship or whatever doesn't work out, and then you go to sell the house, you're in this situation right now where you're like, hey, wait a minute, you know, I've been investing in this house too. So like, why am I just high and dry and kicked to the curb? So it really does suck when that happens, because most breakups aren't, I can't say this word, amicable. Most breakups are pretty, if not somewhat conflict, high conflict breakups. And nobody's really trying to see rationally or see the other side. They're just trying to get their point across and prove that they're right. So when you're in that situation, it is really tough.
It is. And just imagine if you have others involved in that process, right? The kids and things. You know, it's a tough spot. You don't want the kids or to see everything that's happening, and you want this to be as smooth as possible. So as an agent, you really do have to sit down and have the staff conversations before you list that property to ensure that everything goes as smoothly as possible. So no matter what the situation is, I know we've played different scenarios. It's essential to have those conversations beforehand to bring clarity to the table, right? And I think that's one of the most important things, have clarity when you sit down and talk to them and put everything on the table so that we can proceed with the best course, you know, with the best steps and get everyone what they're looking for, right? Because when you start bringing things from left and throwing curveballs, things are going to happen that people are not going to be happy about. People are not going to be satisfied. And again, at that point, that's reasonable. But the earlier you have the toughest conversation, the easier it will be for everybody.
So. Very, very true. Well, it looks like we are at the top of the hour, guys, and you've heard the story. So let us know in the comments, what would you do if you were the agent in this situation? And not just the agent, but what would you do if you were the seller? And what would you do if you were the person who is the ex who feels like they're getting cheated and gypped out of what is their fair share? Drop us a comment and let us know how you guys would handle this situation.
Yeah, this episode fire you up, make you comfortable, you know, feel seen. That's the point. We're not just trying to entertain. We want to start a real conversation, a challenge, any advice, and help you make smarter moves in real estate and in business. So
let's go. And if you guys, Andres, go ahead.
No, let's go.
I was going to say, and if you guys want to be part of the conversation, not just listen, go to our website at www.realtalkha.live, and there you can apply to be a spotlight guest or jump on the show with us and weigh in on your opinion on what would you do and am I the a-hole real estate edition.
And do us a favor, like it, share it, and send it to someone who needs to hear it. So
also guys, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and we will see you guys on the next one.
See you next time for more Real Talk with Heather and Andres.
Bye, guys.
Ciao.